folks. We are back on the flagstick.com Tea Talk podcast. Sitting here with my co-host Scott McLeod, Stefan Tiedorf here. What's going on, Scotty?
Well, I'm playing the part of the old man the last 2 days. I played some simulator golf on Sunday, and somehow I think I hurt myself a little bit.
On your own, or you hit up your boys there at Acro?
No. It was with my boys at Acro. We played our Sunday game. It resumed, and I seemed to be fine on Sunday, and I had hit balls the week before, but somehow I did something wacky with my hip. So I woke up Monday morning not able to stand too much on my left leg. So whatever. I'm sure it'll subside at some point. But, this is what you have to look forward to, getting old.
Oh, man. I feel you remember, I didn't grow up playing golf. So my knees are destroyed. I grew up in the streets. Right. I was skateboarding and biking. You know, I wasn't on grass. I was out in the streets.
That would be breakdancing and volleyball for me. There you go.
Breakdance. Well, that's a story for another day that I need to get into. There we go. there's a lot of places to start. We will get to our regular segment that we started off the week of just the week that was. But obviously the news of the week right now is Tiger Woods, and was the news on the weekend after showing up at Riviera and not looking great and not sounding like he was going to be playing golf anytime soon. Then you see him playing golf the following day with David Spade, and that's going viral. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like Tiger will be playing golf anytime soon after reports of a pretty major car crash early this morning. We are recording this on Tuesday, as per usual. What were your first thoughts hearing it? A lot of reports out there of what's happened. He isn't, as we're recording this, they say he is in surgery. It's not life-threatening as of this moment. It's getting scary.
I think my reaction first is, I knew a lot. There would be a lot of overreaction. There'd be a lot of speculation, which, personally, I like to avoid because that's just, what people do. But I don't find any joy in that for sure. My first thoughts really were, we find this out and it's sudden news for us. But, imagine being his mom or his kids and hearing that news. And this is not about golf. People forget about that. Sure, he's one of the greatest golfers, one of the greatest sports people of all time, but you want this guy to, have his life. And that's really what it comes down to. And it's a case of, how severe are the injuries? How is it going to impact, the way he lives his life? And we've talked about it a million times in the show, and different issues of him, coming back to the game. And he's obviously doesn't owe anything to the game. He's done a lot for the game. And really, everything is about his family now and his legacy with his kids. And that's what I thought about first more than anything.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if Tiger's going to go out not as an old man. I think we all picture him as an old man hitting shots at Augusta. And it's the last couple of years, he hasn't lived an easy life, clearly, on his body. No. Now this, who knows the effect that has. I've seen comparisons already to Ben Hogan, and he won six times after his accident. Yeah, well, that's great. I understand we can be optimistic, but let's just figure out what happened here. He might never walk again. We have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, we don't, and I think that's the hard part as well. And I mentioned that to you before we get on the air. I love being part of the media, and I love, obviously being a journalist and telling stories, but I can tell you immediately, after the news broke, I started getting phone calls from some different outlets that I normally, go on and, do commentary on golf. But it was clear from some of their messages, they were asking for things that, can you come on and talk about the context of Tiger in relationship to golf? Well, you know what? I think everybody knows that.
He's not dead yet.
If they don't know that, need to Google that. And the only other thing I can imagine, a lot of them, they were looking for speculation. They want to say, what do you think? What do you think happened? Well, we don't know that. So I think it's sad, unfortunately, that some people couldn't resist maybe jumping on some of those things and making it about themselves. This is about Tiger. It really, really is. And even hearing a professor on TV who's talking about some different things with the situation and said, he's a public figure. We have the right to know what happened. No, we don't have the right to know what happened. And it really, he's a public figure. Yes. Do you have the right to know everything that he does? No, he doesn't owe that to you. So that's disappointing when I hear that stuff. I'm kind of proud, actually, when I see some of the news outlets that, stick to the facts, tell the story. yes, it's difficult, especially when news is breaking, to get things right. We saw that in the situation of people talking about them using the jaws of life to get them out of the vehicle. But of course, then they came back and said, no, it was a case of another tool and an axe that was used to extricate them. Things are going to happen fast and there's going to be mistakes made that way, but present the facts as much as possible. And again, just realize that he's very lucky, as the one police sergeant said that was, you know, on the scene, the fact that, you know, he's very lucky that in a rollover like this, that, you know, he was wearing a seatbelt, that the airbags deployed, you know, the cabin of the vehicle was intact. And the fact that, you know, he does have, you know, major injuries to his legs at this point and lacerations. You know what? He got off lucky. He probably did. And how it happened or what happened, who knows?
And by the time this podcast comes out, anything that we're probably saying is, it's probably old news too, right? Probably, who knows? Yeah. So yeah. I don't think we will go down much further. Obviously, the game's better with Tiger in it. At this point, I wouldn't expect to see him at the Masters. Even his legs, let's say the legs aren't even that serious an injury.
Yeah.
He's already talking about his back again. Being an injury. Yeah. And now you go in a car accident, like,
brutal.
Yeah, that's just going to be horrible. So I hope for a speedy recovery. I'm sure we'll see Tiger at Augusta. I hope we will. I hope there is that another story. You can't count this guy out. If this guy has a heartbeat and a breath at this point, he has an ability to win a major championship again. So that's where I'll leave it for now. I think there's just no point at this. Everything we've said, you can find elsewhere, and hopefully by the time this comes out, great news has happened, and we'll address that next week. Let's get into our favorite segment of the week. What are you drinking?
Just ginger ale tonight.
Just ginger ale tonight. Oh, yeah, no rye?
A little bit more, but no rye in there. Had to obviously take a little Tylenol for the hips.
He doesn't want to get loopy. Doesn't want to get loopy on here and say some things. I got a very, very nice IPA is what it's called by Nickel Brook Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had some of theirs before. Which one is it?
Yeah, it's called Very Nice IPA. I just told you.
Oh, okay. That's a good name. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like to most. Beer. Yeah, it's like a fruit and citrus is I guess the flavors. Getting a little bit of pineapple flavor in here.
Where's that brewery from? Like, I've seen it before. I think it's in Ontario here,
yeah,
right?
Nickel Brook's down near Burlington there. So
okay.
Yeah, solid beer. I'll give it a rating at some point, but I'm liking it so far. Let's hit the week that was, Scotty. Every single week we give it a birdie, a par, a bogey, honorable mention. What's your birdie of the week?
My birdie of the week just came out the other day. Madeline Sagstrom, who plays on the LPGA Tour now, she did a very personal short film, worked with Amy Rogers, the LPGA media team on it. So basically, it's telling the story of the fact that she was sexually abused as a child. You know, very personal story, obviously difficult for her to come forward, but you know, it was handled really well, and I think it was impactful. You could see that right away on social media. Very difficult for her to obviously come forward this way and tell that story, but I think it's important that, you know, survivors tell stories like that, because you know there's somebody that's watching that and is going to be impacted by it, and they might come forward as well.
It's a great story to share. I mean, it's not a great story by any means. It's awful. No one should have to go through that. Child even worse. It's awful. People are just terrible. We've started on a somber note, but the fact that she is sharing it in hopes that other people can come forward and feel that they've been there as well is exactly why she's doing it. So I can't say I've been in those shoes. I don't know what she's going through. I don't know how much strength it took for her to find that voice and to tell that story. At the end of the day, I appreciate her doing it. I don't know what else to say on it other than hopefully it helps somebody going forward. I'm going to take this, my birdie, into the golf tournament that happened on the weekend from the PGA Tour, and just a birdie to Max Homa in general. This guy he's what I think everybody as a kid said they would be if they became like a professional golfer, and then he actually did it, where it's just like he loves to play the game, he loves to have fun, he's showing his emotion, he showed how much everything meant to him. That tournament, he used to go to that tournament since he was 2 years old. He said in his podcast afterwards, and if you haven't checked out his podcast with Shane Bacon, it's Get a Grip podcast. Very good. They're breaking down the whole thing. He said, I don't think I would cry if I won the Masters, but that tournament meant something. Told a great story about his wife calling him in between and how she usually gives him just awful advice. And she just gave him this one piece of advice. And every time he talks about it, he tears up. I just think he's a great guy. He has fun on Twitter. He just seems like an everyday guy. And most of the guys out there are, but they try to put this persona that they're not and that they're better than everybody. Max isn't doing that. Max just seems like he played golf on Monday at his the club he grew up on with his friends, and then he comes out and he wins the tournament that means the most to him on Sunday, and he went through some adversity to right at the end. Like, he should have won that on 18. What was that, 3 feet? Yeah. He had what a shot going into it, and unfortunately that tournament needs the fans on 18. It's just, we were talking about what holds better, 10 or 18. That natural amphitheater that takes place behind the green, it would have went crazy.
Oh yeah,
if he hit that shot in there, it would have been insane. Probably actually helps him that there wasn't fans, knowing how big that tournament was to him. But you know, he tweets, he has fun, he has a podcast, he just seems like the everyday guy that also is really, really good on the PGA Tour, and now a lot richer after picking up his second PGA Tour win.
Yeah, and I think it's just a guy who really appreciates where he's at and what he's gotten to, and he knows that, you know, it's not easy to be there and that he should just enjoy it and every bit of it and not expect that it's, you know, there's anything that's going to be handed to him, that's for sure.
No, absolutely, and we'll get to more about that tournament throughout the episode, but let's hit the par for the week, Scotty. What do you got in the week that was in golf?
Yeah, the PGA Championship, which will take place at Kiawah Island Resort, the Ocean Course in May, they've announced that they're going to allow 10,000 fans per day in there. You know, obviously we're seeing this happen at events. They're, you know, gradually getting larger crowds in there. Personally, I'm giving this a par, not because I'm excited about it, but the fact that, yes, we got a PGA Championship where we're going to have spectators, but really that's about as many fans as you want in there on the Ocean Course. This is a golf course that Pete Dye designed. It's tucked in the dunes there in South Carolina. You don't want more than 10,000 people running around ruining that place, because that's what they'll end up doing. If the crowds were monstrous there, they'd just be destroying some of the dunescapes and everything else just for the sake of the event. So I think that's just sort of, again, it's not a big birdie, but it's not a bogey as well. So I'll give that my par for the week.
No, I think it'll be cool. It's going to feel like that first real event back, probably. I think it's going to get closer to normal soon, especially in the States. They're handing out vaccines. We keep talking about it, and I keep getting more and more pissed off about it. But they're handing them out like candy right now down there at a great rate. I don't know how effective it is. I know there's issues. I'm probably romanticizing what it actually is compared to what they're selling it as. But if they're getting vaccinated down there, they're going to have fans and they're going to turn life back to normal, especially outdoor events. And what a great spot to do it. Looking forward to the PGA Championship. Not that far away. Yeah. So
no.
And the Players is like, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks away?
It's crazy.
Man, it's going to be, the Players didn't happen last year. That is when everything shut down. I think we'll have to talk about that. And we should try to get Aaron Fleener on. He was joking. He's been joking for the last year that he won the Players Championship because he won the closest to the pin caddy contest on the Wednesday that they run. So we'll see if we can get Aaron on that week. He's a tough guy to grab, but we'll do our best. We know a couple of his buddies. I think that'll be a good time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Players, and this is going to be sweet to see more fans in, and hopefully it's a slow ramp up until that, and then at that point, hopefully that becomes the norm.
What's your par for the week?
For me, the par is the amateur status change. I don't fully understand it, to be completely honest, but it does sound like amateurs are actually allowed to, you know, accept some payment in certain ways. They're actually able to accept like sponsorships and things along those lines. They're not allowed to actually accept a prize in excess of a certain limit, and they're not allowed to accept payment for giving instructions. But I think this changes some things. I'm unsure of it. That's why it's a par. Like, could you have a person that is really, really good that could be making $1 million and be an amateur golfer out there? Like, you don't.
Yeah,
it's going to be a slippery slope.
Yeah, someone made a really good point, though. The fact of, you know, some of the best players in the world who are scraping it out on, you know, the Korn Ferry Tour and mini tours, yeah, they can't find sponsors. So why does some guy who's a plus two at some club, you know, unless they are a personality of some sort and they have some other intangible, whether, you know, they have a big audience, a big following of some kind, that would make them a
social. I didn't even think of the social element, social media. What about like USAM, though, right? Like, now you can say, hey, that guy's got a Titleist hat on. How much did they pay for that hat for the week? And oh, he's using our ball, right? Like, it's going to be weird. Yeah. There's going to be a weird line. I'm going to give the USGA a birdie for thinking differently and the RNA for thinking a little bit differently. I just don't know where it's going, and that's why it's a par. Yeah. I don't know if it was a good par and we grinded it out, or if it was one where, you know, we missed the tap in here for birdie. I'm just unsure. What are your thoughts? I want to know.
I think right now we have to understand as well that this is the feedback period. So it's not implemented yet. It won't be implemented until January 1st, 2022. So there may be changes between now and then of what they proposed and what they actually implement. So they could get some feedback where there's something they haven't really thought of. And then maybe there's a segment in there. They're like, maybe that's not a great idea. And they won't implement that going forward. I think it makes it easier for them to administer the game. I think one of the things that has become an issue is just really them keeping track of everything. That's the thing. There's only so many people that
how are you going to know if some kid in Canada and, you know, Brooklyn, Ontario's taking $100,000 under the table? You don't know.
Well, I think it becomes not even those large amounts. It became smaller stuff. It means people that are, you know, maybe going to tournaments and getting some money for expenses and things like that, where they're getting help. Well, right now, they're already getting it anyways, and it maybe happens, but really it's just, you know, not recognized. So now it's just like, okay, that's okay to do that. So I think there's a lot of elements here that might be a real positive. I like the fact that they're, you know, they're keeping the line pretty straight on a few things as far as that payment for instruction, you know, excessive prize limits and stuff like that. But yeah, there's situations where people, you know, become a member of working for like the PGA, and then all of a sudden, because they're an employee in a certain role, that, you know, they're considered a professional. Well, that's not really the case. I mean, it really should be someone who is really actively trying to make a living of some kind from the game that is really a professional. So I just think it basically cleans up the blurred line is really what it does. And we'll see what happens more as they go forward with this.
And lastly, I'm sure there's a bunch of people that will be calling. I am open to any potential sponsorships that people want to pay me. I'm open to it. Yeah, I'm open to a talk.
How many guys do you think that are all of a sudden like an 8 handicap that saw this come out and like, that's awesome, I can't wait to get sponsored, thinking that there's this massive pool of money out there. Whereas, you know, we've got LPGA Tour players that are scratching, some of the best players in the world, and they're scratching to get golf clubs from manufacturers. So if people are thinking this is going to be a windfall for every single amateur in the world, think again.
I have no idea. What's your bogey for the week?
Bogey for the week for me will be the people that were crapping on Tony Finau after he lost to Homa in the playoff at Riviera. I mean, Finau, obviously, you know, everybody wants him to win. He's only got that one win at Puerto Rico, but this guy shot 64 in the final round at Riviera to get into that playoff. So for the people that are sitting there going, oh, he's a choker and this and that, look, golf's a hard game, and at the highest level, a lot of things have to happen for you to win, just as they did for Homa. Mm-hmm. Yes, we would like Finau to win more. That's not always the case. So, I mean, he did what he had to. Yes, he didn't persevere in the playoff, but he got himself into the playoff and he shot that 64 in the final round.
You got to wonder for him where his head was at. He watches Max miss that putt. In his head, he's like, I got him. This is mine now. Like, he can't be in it. And then he sees Max up against this tree, and he's like, oh, he's got his foot on his neck. I got him. And then Max hits that shot, which just insane. And yeah, like, what a good shot. We were texting my buddy. He was like, oh, like, Finau is like an automatic 3 from where he is. And I was like, I don't think it's that. I think Max is just more of an automatic 5 from where he is. No, Max had almost like just as close to making that three as Tony did. Ultimately, yeah, both miss, sure. Both tap in for par, and away we're going. Tony at that point must just be like, how did I let this go? Like, how did I let this one slip out of it? And maybe that took over for his shot on, they went, 10, 14, 18, right? That's the loop they go on 14. Just misses it in the only spot you can't miss it at that point. And then his bunker shot just somehow comes to a stop on a dime there where it's everything made it seem like it was going to go towards the hole. It does, misses the putt. It's like,
I just think it's funny because people, they basically act like, they're the ones that are disappointed in him. You know what? Nobody's going to be more disappointed than him, and even though he's not going to act like it and obviously didn't in his interview afterwards, but it's him, it's his game, and he's the one that's going to be the most disappointed. So, don't make it about you and what if you're disappointed in him and what he did, and then all of a sudden head to social media and, start chewing on him. Forget it. I mean, great. He could come back and win this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't count him out for a top 10 by any means. I mean, top 10s every single week, so throw it out there. Why not? For me, my bogey this week, it kind of seems screwed up now. earlier in the week, there was a ton of Tiger news, and one of the pieces of Tiger news that came out is that his putter has now been extended. And I was like, oh, I'll click on that. Like, it's gear talk, and this, it's going to be crazy. And they're like, oh, it's been extended to the same length of a sand wedge. I was like, oh, geez, like, okay. Like that's a lot. I think, right. Yeah. Like I use like a 34. Usually that'd be like an inch and a half. And it's like, nope. He extended a 0.25 of an inch to help his back. And I was like, all right.
Cool. Wasn't that big of a news. Was
like,
it?
How did anybody know that?
It's because he said it. That was it. But why anybody would have dug into that and made it a big deal? Quarter of an inch, really. But
So weird. I mean, Tiger, sure. I'm not going down that joking road way too soon. Okay, what's your honorable mention this week, Scotty?
Honorable mention has to be Riviera. A birdie for them, if not an eagle. That golf course continues to hold up to the best players in the world. Just under 7,300, par 71. Just a great test of golf, fun to watch. The players embrace it. When they obviously had tough conditions there with the wind was up and they had to cancel play for a little while, but the players love it. They know it's important as far as that event because it is an elevated event. It's one of those ones that's in that next realm of tournaments. The golf course just, it holds up year after year for not only the players themselves, but for the spectators. You just see people excited about the fact that they are at Riviera, and it certainly comes and becomes part of everybody's sort of vocabulary about golf courses that they want to play on the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah, we got to get that. It's got to get a major at some point again, right? When was the last time in the 60s or something like that, a PGA Championship or something? I don't know. You'll look it up. I'm surprised you don't know right off the top of your head. I think it'd be a great host for it. It is odd when it's already there every year, right? There's a tournament like when Pebble did it for the US Open, even though they were there a few months earlier. It does feel odd. It doesn't feel as special.
They're
but I think
the Olympics. They're supposed to have the Olympics there in 2028.
Wow. Okay. That would be pretty cool. All right. Yeah. Yeah, the Olympics, fifth major, whatever. I think it'll be cool. Sure. I'd be down with them getting a major. We'll see. It's not part of the rotation now, but why couldn't they have a PGA Championship there?
Well, they had a U.S. amateur there in 17. I think maybe the issue would be spectator. It's hard to get a lot of spectators in there. I mean, they obviously do a fair amount in normal years for the Genesis. But I think, in a lot of the major championships, they want to have as many people as possible. The PGA, for an example, it's a money-making thing for them. And also the club itself only wants to host a certain number of events. They are obviously a private club. So if they are hosting the Genesis every year, it's hard to expect a club to be interested in maybe hosting two in a single year.
That's fair enough. For me, honorable mention, went to hit a couple golf balls myself over the weekend and hit some.
But you didn't hurt yourself, I hope.
Didn't hurt myself. I grew up in the streets. My body can take it. Told you this. Saw some new equipment, hit some new equipment. One of the pieces of equipment I've seen is the new, that slate blue finish on the SM8 Vokey wedges. Those are sexy. I'm giving those a birdie. I also was able to hit the new Sim 2 driver. That thing is hot. It's either hot or I didn't gain muscle in the last 6 months of not hitting a golf ball. So it must be some extra weight coming through the golf ball. So that one, I'm going to give that a birdie. And then also hit the new Ping G425, which nice. We actually have one of the product. What's his official title here? Throw me a bone here, Scotty.
Yeah, we've got Ryan Stokey, the director of product design for Ping, who's going to be our feature interview this week, talking exactly about the G425 and the whole family of products from the company.
Yeah, so I hit it. I thought it was great. You know, everyone's making great stuff this year.
They are.
Ping, obviously, kind of in the news with Tony Finau on the weekend, right into the end, Titleist right into the end, obviously with Max Homa. Everyone's making great gear. So what did you learn about the product? What can we expect from this interview, Scotty?
Well, obviously he breaks down a little bit of, you know, what they did and what the challenges were to make this product, because, you know, they were trying to blend the effects of kind of two of the previous generations of product they made, especially in the driver, for an example. But there was a lot of things that they were after, especially in the three wood and the hybrid, as far as consistency of distance. And they had to really lean on some new technologies and new designs to be able to do that. And Ryan explains that in our great feature interview. We want to welcome Ryan Stokey, who's the director of product design for Ping, today, just to talk about some of the products for 2021. They've got a lot of exciting things going on. And as most people know, if they are diehard golfers, Ping is a company that really prides themselves in engineering and really coming out with new products that are not just, you know, flashy. They're innovative and they're actually going to do something different for the golfers. Welcome. Good to chat again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, Ping G425, obviously a great family of products, drivers, fairways, hybrids, irons, and crossovers. What's the big key feature here? I know you've obviously been working on this product cycle for quite some time. I'm hearing a lot about MOI and forgiveness. Why don't you tell us from your end of it, what's the key thing for you?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple key features. You know, it's not specifically the same across different product categories. But I think the key thing when we talk about the driver are a couple things. So the first one being, we do different model designs, and they have very specific fitting characteristics. And so that's really the prevailing thing between the importance of having a Max, an LST, and an SFT. But then within those is really our ability to unpack, how do we deliver what we had with a really strong G400 Max platform, mm-hmm. and then the G410, where we brought in the adjustability, the movable CG, and really merge those two together, and look at how can we really differentiate ourselves in the marketplace, deliver high MOI, but the ability to really tune in each individual driver to individuals, you know, swing, and really have that opportunity to get the best fit and an ideal fit in a chassis design that is high MOI, really helps you on your best shots and your miss hits get that best performance.
Yeah, and that's not easy to do. And, you know, when you guys are looking at doing that from a design perspective, you know, there's a lot of challenges that are here, and it all goes into that product. And this is why it takes a long while to develop. What were the particular challenges in trying to mend, as you said, or merge basically that 400 and 410 platforms to kind of get the best of all the features?
Yeah, so absolutely. One of the biggest thing that was a challenge was, how do we deliver the high moment of inertia? Really what we're trying to work in that area is champion. How do we take all the extra discretionary mass out of the head? So when we look at, you know, it's not one particular thing that leads to a great driver design. It's the sum of a lot of smaller things that leads to that solution. We worked on, how do we make our hosel sleeve lighter and have the best adjustable hosel sleeve design? That's really lightweight. How do we make the face get the flexibility, high COR, get a lot of ball speed, but also look at how can we tune that in to have extra weight savings, how we approach doing our really ultra thin body design and selection of materials, so our Ti 811 material for the body. And when you take all those things and pull them together, that's what's allowing us to put this high density tungsten weight in the back of the design and also develop that structure that you can tune in the CG and have a Max position, a fade and a draw. Ultimately, just that great marriage of being able to fit exclusively for every consumer, But designing a driver that holistically is just much higher inertia than anything else out there, and just deliver that really playability that's hard to find.
We're seeing that acceptance across a lot of golfers, you know, a wide scope of golfers. I mean, be it on PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, right down to the amateurs. How do you think about those players when you're building this design and the features that you put in, especially when you're, you know, segmenting it out to three different products in this driver category?
Yeah, so I think the big thing there is we look at how can we design each of those different models between the LST, the Max, and the SFT. And we do kind of paint the picture of different consumers for different product line within the family of G425. But we'll recognize ways with the 425 LST, we really focused on how do we reduce spin. And that's a great aspect both for the high swing player where spin and just the lift that's generated from spin can cause them to see reduced distance if they have too much spin. But that also can be a player characteristic for a slower swing speed player that just due to how they deliver the golf club, if that person, a typical right-hand golfer that hits that high and right ball, it has a lot of spin as well. And so you can actually tune that in a couple different fashions. You can use an SFT to help them counteract and hit it straighter. You can also use LST in that situation as well for the right golfer and just bring their whole spin profile down and make that help them get more distance and hit a straighter ball.
Yeah, and I guess that's the magic of it, especially when they're working with, you know, authorized count and a count and a fitter, and they're going through the process. You know, there's not one driver for one person. You know, they could fit into something else, as you said, depending on the fitting and the options. You're just trying to create as much flexibility as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's just a big thing with when we talk about the driver in particular. We tried to push all three models further into the technology platform that they support. So the LST is lower spin. The Max is even higher forgiveness, easier to hit straight, really delivering for the biggest array of golfers, broadest range. And then with the SFT, we really looked at how do we deliver, you know, even greater straight flight technology? How do we make it turnover and just have that ease of helping any golfer that fights a right miss for a right-hand golfer just to hit it straighter. And so we pushed each design further into the space that they excel and really make that be something that each golfer, depending on, you know, which model they fit into, see that even bigger jump in performance.
Now, a lot of golfers will obviously, you know, gravitate towards drivers. It's the sexy club that everyone chases. They always want those great drivers. But, you know, you guys, you know, never slouch basically paying attention to all the other products as well. And, you know, when we go down to fairways, for an example, you know, this Miraging Steel face wrap that I see, this technology, why don't you explain a little bit of the importance of that and how it helps the performance in fairways?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Drivers is, you know, the spot where everybody's focusing. But really with 425, we've made some huge gains in the fairway and hybrid space. And so they actually have a lot of parallel technologies between the two products that really will help exactly how we want to design a fairway wood for performance as well as a hybrid. So talking about the fairway wood in particular, we have our Miraging Steel. So it's high strength, very rugged material, can withstand a lot of deflection and turn. It can return a lot of ball speed. But we are forging that material into our face wrap design. So it's actually a whole portion contribution of the entire face portion of the crown, skirt, and sole that then we're welding into the body of the fairway wood. And it really is allowing us to do two things. One, we can even push to greater deflection and higher ball speed. And that's just a great aspect, just getting the, you know, as high potential ball speed as we can in both fairways and hybrids. The second is that since we're forging the entire face structure, we can really look at how do we design the face wrap and the way that we make the face contour, which then leads into a kind of our secondary technology, which is the spinsistency. Yeah. And so what we looked at was really dialing in from a consistency standpoint, the curvature of the face from crown to sole. And looking at how we can challenge both from an engineering standpoint and then passing it on to the consumer to help them just get an ease of hitting shots that also go and travel a more consistent distance.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing for fitting. A lot of people think about left and right, but they also don't think about as far as consistency of the distance. And a lot of that happens because of the spin variances as well. And people might go out to a demo day, they'll hit a shot particularly thin, which, you know, happens a fair bit if you go out to those demo days. And this is what really that's addressing, especially as those low face shots that people all of a sudden lose out and they don't get that same type of, you know, performance that they would maybe higher up the face.
Yeah, and I think in general, when people hit shots higher on the face of their fairway woods, they're really happy with the outcome. And especially when you have a high, you know, high MOI fairway wood like our fairway woods, you see launches higher, has some spin reduction due to gearing, and you go, okay, that was still a great shot. When you do hit those thin ones, you go, okay, first I'm hitting, you know, typically off the turf. It's the lowest lofted club when you talk about the fairway wood. And so what we're really trying to do is just give a lot of insurance on that shot. And that's where consistency comes into play. So by going with a tighter roll curve lower on the face, the ball does come out lower because there is less loft. But because we can normalize the spin and make it more consistent compared to hitting shots perfect in the center of the face, we just get a greater overall just total distance consistency. That's really a great aspect of the new design.
Yeah, and I think consumers will begin to understand that a little better as they see this product. And, you know, they hear a term and they probably think it's a marketing term, but once they get the performance out there and they understand what it's doing for them, I think they'll really get it.
Yeah, and just anecdotally, I had a great experience, just Waste Management, Phoenix Open here. So we were able to meet and see some of the players. And just in particular, working with Corey Connors, he has the new fairway wood, and just immediately spoke to the idea and getting it. And one of the things, as you mentioned, it does produce a little bit different experience. So you have less loft lower on the face. So it does launch lower than you're anticipating, but then it's yielding the distance when you actually get up there. So when you see where the ball ended up, you start to recognize, and it has that reinforcement that it's supporting, seeing greater distance.
Yeah, and that distance control is obviously just as important, or if not more, for guys like Corey Connors as it is for every amateur that's out there, right?
Yep.
You know, moving on here, we'll talk a little bit about the G425 irons. One of the things that fascinated me here is that, you know, you guys have come up with a design that, you know, is high MOI, it's very forgiving, it's got those features that people would expect out of a game improvement type iron, but it's not overly massive. You've managed to make a profile there that is easier to look at, and that combination will probably appeal a lot more to consumers.
Yeah, I mean, we've made some great strides over the last couple of iterations of the iron, and just getting to see these really strong platforms of how we're casting the design, the toe screw and tip weight, having this high MOI platform, the new VFT structure, all these things that really help with the distance and forgiveness aspect. But I agree, you know, completely that the changes that we've made from making a little shorter heel to toe, cleaning up the overall aesthetic of the design, giving it cleaner top rail appearance, and just a lot of confidence out of dress has just shifted our G425 iron to a space that it just has a wider reach with golfers. And that's a great aspect. Is as much as we can do to kind of conceal things under the hood from a technology standpoint, it still needs to deliver confidence out of dress. So that's a big part of what we've done from just an improvement standpoint with our G iron.
Yeah. And, you know, carrying that through over to the crossover, I mean, the crossover is a category that you guys have been very innovative in, and it's gotten a lot of attention. At first, maybe people weren't sure about it and sure what it was all about, but it's providing an option for people that maybe don't want to go to a hybrid like that club that looks more iron-like in that yardage. And what are the features of the new one?
Yeah, so with the new crossover, really what we were focused on is just continuing to build on that platform. So it's kind of bridging the gap as you go from the longest iron that you're comfortable with, and you have a lot of options, and we deliver a lot of options in that space. So we have really high lofted fairway woods, hybrids, and then crossovers as well. But you do have kind of player to player, you know, preferences on what they want to look at. And some players like hybrids, others don't. And the crossover really helps in that space. So you have a lot of iron-like qualities. The biggest things that we did with the new design were looking at how do we make it launch higher. And so that's part of the structure design and the way that we've designed it. How do we make it more forgiving? So that's also in just the perimeter weighting. But really one of the things is similar to the iron is just how do we make it visually just look better at a dress? So we brought in our Hydropearl Stealth finish. And so it's our darker finish. And really it just gives players a lot of confidence. We can design it to be a bigger long iron replacement, but by adding that finish and working on the shaping, it just has a lot of confidence as a transition club as you go into that long iron replacement. And so when we look at the performance with the new crossover, it launches higher, it lands softer, goes further, and looks better at address. I mean, I think it's kind of the perfect combination. And gives that player that, you know, isn't ready or has tried hybrids or you know, high lofted 7-9 woods, has another option that can really fit within more of that iron kind of size and shape.
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned that spin consistency with the fairways and the hybrids, but the hydropearl finish offers that you know, we'll call it a similar characteristics in that there's some consistency there that it provides. And I think I don't know if enough people have paid attention to that finish as much yet. If you could explain it maybe a little bit and how it can help a player basically be more consistent with spin rates and contact, especially in differing conditions.
Yeah, so with spin consistency and how we're utilizing that for a fairway and hybrid, it's about making it more consistent for hitting shots up and down the face and in different type of conditions. But what we really try to champion when we look at the crossover and even our irons and wedges is consistency in different types of conditions. So if you're hitting out of a perfectly dry, you know, lie in the fairway, and then you move into slightly wet in the rough or just out of rough that's dry, how do we make you get a similar experience in those shots and have kind of that predictive capability of going, you know, I'm hoping this isn't a flyer. I'm hoping I can have this, you know, come out in the same launch and spin window. And that's just a part of what we've really developed with our hydropearl finish and our chrome plating finish that we were able to deliver on our irons, wedges, as well as the crossover. So when we talk about hydropearl stealth in particular, it's a finish that allows us to see that similar launch and spin characteristic out of perfect conditions in the fairway, or if you're hitting it out of the rough in the wet conditions. It just normalizes, brings everything back to, I see a more similar spin, I see a more similar launch, and ultimately that trajectory that's predictable with how it's going to fly and land when you're hitting those approach shots into the green.
Yeah, a few less surprises. I mean, everybody has probably been through that experience where all of a sudden they get in a situation and they go to hit a shot and they're expecting a certain result. They don't get that, but you know, yeah. You certainly don't see that as much with the hydropearl finish there. The other thing that's adding value as well, you know, you're continuing your project and your work with Arcos. The Ping G425 series clubs all come standard with the Arcos Caddy Smart Grip. How is that technology kind of helping you guys, but also helping the consumer as well?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple different facets of really exploring how there's a lot of benefits for both Ping and the consumer. So one, if we look, you know, as from a designer standpoint, there's a lot of opportunity to gain a lot of data. And it can really help us hone in on areas of going, well, the majority of time, you know, we've already learned when you talk about short game, most shots are being hit with wedges around the green. And the majority of the time when we look at new conditions for designing sole types or type of groove profile, we can really hone in that space. At the same time, there's the opportunity for us to look at, you know, just driver performance and going, we designed an SFT to have this characteristic and it should help players find fairways more. If we still see that the population of golfers are missing fairways to the right, we can even go, okay, we need to explore pushing that technology to even a further degree. Looking at the consumer, though, I think one of the biggest things that pops out right away is just how it can support gapping and understanding if you have the right gapping throughout the set for your player characteristics. And at the same time, giving some of that natural feedback of going, I'm finding I was fitting to my driver and it was in a max setting. But when I get on the golf course, I'm finding that I hit too many shots to the left. You can get that immediate feedback and seeing that and having something that's helping record to say, maybe I need to shift my CG tuner into a fade position or a draw position and just really helping kind of hone in on, you know, what we're doing in a fitting setting and then seeing how that plays out on the golf course. Arcos can help kind of fill the gap in between.
Yeah, and consumers can obviously go back and work with their fitter, their authorized Ping account, and, you know, maybe tune that in a little bit as far as what they're doing if they bring them the data, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate it. Obviously, it's a great product line this year. Looking forward to getting out and doing a little bit more testing with it and see how it works for even for myself, that's for sure. But we appreciate all the work that you guys are putting into it. Amazing designs, again, pushing the limits as far as design work. And we look forward to seeing what you're doing next.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Ryan, for that interview. As I said off the top, going into it, I was hitting that on the weekend, loving it. We'll get to my experience hitting a few golf balls on the weekend and getting back after 4 or 5 months off. But thank you, Ryan. We're looking forward to getting our hands on that product a little bit more and testing that in the upcoming months. I swear, like, the season's turning here. Yeah. All of a sudden, the snow's melting on the driveway. Something, it's turning. Spring might be around the corner. I don't know, Scotty, what are you thinking? You're old. Your hips, maybe the hips saying, like, the weather's warming up.
Maybe it is. I mean, you know, we are getting to the later in February now. So, you know, you never know. We've golfed in this area in March before, so it might turn around really quickly, melt this snow, and we're getting out there. So definitely there's some signs that spring is coming, and I'm with you. I want to start testing a little bit more product, maybe give a little bit more feedback as well to our listeners. They're certainly asking for it. I'm certainly getting DMs and stuff from people all the time now asking about availability for products. You know, have you tried this yet? Unfortunately, without going to the PGA show this year, I haven't tried as much out as I normally would. So I'm eager to do some testing, especially with the Ping G425, for an example.
I like it. Golf is returning this week. LPGA is back. Yes. Kind of real event down in Gainsbridge. What are your thoughts on this golf course and the event? I'm excited to see it back. Ton of golf this weekend. Three big events this weekend.
Yeah, Gainsbridge LPGA, which is going to be at Lake Nona. Fabulous facility. Kind of neat. Obviously, we get the some of the top players in the game back playing. Odd ones, Yanni Tseng and Annika are playing in this tournament. Annika, who hasn't played an event since, 13 years now. We've got three Canadians in the field, Elena Sharp, Brooke Henderson, and a recent guest, Jacqueline Lee, in it as well. Players love this golf course, and I think spectators as well. Viewers on TV are going to enjoy the scenes from Lake Nona in Florida.
We also have the fifth major on the PGA Tour this week, the Puerto Rico Open. Who do you think has the best odds to win this week?
I haven't really looked too much, but I know some of the players that are there, and there's not really it's not really a lot of all-stars. I'm going to say Matt Wallace, who's, you know, the 55th ranked player in the world, and he was the alternate to play in the WGC event. The unfortunate part with that, I don't think a lot of people would have put money on him, so he's probably not a factor in those odds.
He is. So he's tied. He's tied with three other players.
Okay.
They are all at 17-1. So you're getting pretty good odds for the favorite. I don't necessarily believe in any of these guys to win. Ian Poulter is tied with Matt Wallace, which it's been since that the Honda he won like a few years ago where he needed it to get it. I forget. Was it the Honda?
To keep his car.
Yeah. So that was his last win.
Well, here's a question for you before you get too far with that. Yeah. How many PGA Tour wins do you think Ian Poulter has?
I think he's got like eight. No,
he's only got three. I looked at it, and it was actually he's got 11 international wins. He's got three PGA Tour wins, and of course, he's played in six Ryder Cups. But I was the same boat as you. If someone asked me, I would have said 6 to 8.
Yeah, somewhere in that. I thought it was 8. My bad. I can tell you, it's more than these other two guys. Thomas Peters is the other one tied. No PGA Tour wins from my memory. Correct.
No,
and then Emiliano Grillo. Is tied with these guys up at the top of the best odds. Just all seems really odd. Like Andrew Putnam's been playing great. He has worse odds. I don't know.
Did you see the alternate list for this?
I have not seen the alternate list, but if you go deep down in the bottom, this is what we love this tournament for this reason. Have you ever heard of these names? I'm gonna go quick game with you and tell me if you know them, you have to tell me why. Donnie Trosper.
Nope. Nope.
Dalton Ward.
Nope.
Carlos Franco.
Yeah, of course. Veteran player. Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
Okay. Hold on.
He's the guy I told you the story about the Q School where he bent his putter and then putted with his hybrid.
Right. David Duval is the worst odds at 2,000-1. What about Richard S. Johnson?
Yes, the Swede. Watched him at Hamilton during the Canadian Open, but he hasn't played a lot in the last number of years, that's for sure.
I'll give you one last one. Sebastian L. Savadera.
No.
I even rolled my tongue on that one.
That's probably because of your pronunciation more than anything.
So. No, S-A-A-V-E-D-R-A, Savadera. No. All right. Well, those are some lads at the bottom. If you're willing to get risky, you can also throw some money on Roberto Neves. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah. So if you look at that alternate list, they've got players like Bradley Hughes, who's actually won this twice. He's the only guy that's won it twice. Also on the alternate list was like Glenn Day, Keith Clearwater, And the other one that was surprising as it got down to the end was Jadon Blake, who's obviously, you know, people follow the club pro guy. He obviously talks a lot about him. But Jadon Blake was like the sixth alternate. But it literally looks like a list of guys that were, you know, players that you would have found in PGA Tour 1986 on your computer that were playing in the tournament.
Was this the tournament last year that Gary Nicklaus was playing in? And we were just rattled that he was. It's a odd field.
That's what you get when you get opposite field events. And I mean, fortunately for some guys, I mean, they made it available for the top 10 players from the 2021 Korn Ferry Tour season. They could come and play in this event, and they've got 8 of the 10, including Canadian Taylor Pendrith, been a guest on this show. Obviously a player like Will Zalatoris made it into the field for the WGC. But yeah, so there's some weird exemption categories, and yeah, definitely it will definitely take some homework to find out who some of these players are.
Yeah, I'm gonna go real bold here and say Pendrith is gonna top 10 this week, and then we'll
love it,
bring him on the podcast next week to talk about it. Interesting tournament. I love the names. I might throw some just absolute flyers out there on some top 10s just for fun. Like half these, like half, I should go through and really see how many of these names I actually know and give facts for. But we have one more tournament. We have the WGC event, which Workday. Anytime there's a sponsored need, Workday's there for you. Whatever you got, Workday will spot. Like, I don't know why, but here we are. This is a weird one, though, right? It's not a place that we usually play golf tournaments at. So it's really hard to throw odds makers on this one. And I had a couple buddies reaching out, like, who do you like this week? What odds? It's like, I'm just looking at the odds where it's like, why is this guy at 50-1? Like Cameron Smith has been playing real hot, and you can get him at 51-1. He's got just as much as a chance of anyone else here when none of them really know this golf course.
No, and you know, this was obviously the WGC Mexico tournament, and then because of COVID and a lot of different things, they've made the move here to Bradenton in Florida. This golf course, maybe people would have seen the NCAA championship played there a few years back, where Bryson DeChambeau won it. But it's considered a hard golf course. In fact, talking to a PGA Tour rep on Sunday, he was headed there, and they call the golf course, instead of calling it concession, they call it concussion. Because it is so hard as far as the golf course. It has the highest rating of any golf course in the Tampa Bay area, 76.7, and the slope is 155. So it doesn't sound like this is going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to be somebody that's going to really grind it out to have success here. And you saw that as well when the NCAAs were there. The players were just getting slaughtered by the golf course. So very interesting. Great venue, obviously, for the WGC. Some people might see some traces here of looking at a golf course like Sabonic in Long Island, just because Doak and Nicklaus were doing work on that when they did the work on this golf course. I think aesthetically, people will like the looks of it, but yeah, really hard to handicap based on the golf course itself.
Last week, we started a new thing where we pick players, and they have to win for our bet to go through. Close. No one had Homa. We were sniffing. I had Finau.
I know.
Sniffing right into the end.
DJ was there for a while. And
DJ was there. Yeah. So I think last week we did $25. I think I'd just rather let's mix it up, because chances are of us picking a guy just to win any tournament, it's going to take a while. So I say we up the stakes. It's not going to happen every week. So what if we say a bottle of wine under $40?
All right. Sounds good. I like that.
Okay, so you went first last week. I'm going to go first this week.
You go first.
We get three players. We just go back and forth. I'm going to go with, I mentioned him earlier, I'm going to go with Cameron Smith. Something smells right about Cameron Smith this week. His odds are way too high at this point. And he can grind. And his hair, he looks like Joe Dirt. He's in Tampa Bay. That place is kind of Joe Dirty. So I'm going to go with Cameron Smith to start it off.
All right, I like that. You know what? I'm going to take the aforementioned Bryson DeChambeau, just because he's had success here. He's played a lot of rounds there during that NCAA championship, so he's probably got more familiarity than most other players. Plus, he's had some success there, so that is always good to help you in a tournament.
I like it. I'm going to sniff right back with Tony Finau this week. He's got to get it done at some point. So. He's bombing it. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go with Tony. I got at this point, what do I really know about the golf course? You just got to be able to fight longer than the other lads. And he fought two holes longer than everyone else in the field last week. So let's see what he has at the concussion course.
All right. I'm going to go with the X-Man. No particular reason, but Xander has obviously shown some great signs early on in the season here. For some reason, I feel that he's peaking right now and ready to go. So I'll take Xander Schauffele as my number two.
Okay. You know what? This guy has a great short game. Hits the putts well. Great irons. Don't know if that has any effect to anything I'm talking about at this golf course. It is long. He can poke it out there. Eventually, he's going to win. He's got to win on the PGA Tour as well. I'm just going with some underdogs this week. I'm picking up Tommy Fleetwood. Ooh. Let me see what Tommy's got this week. I'm going with the long hair boys and a guy that is just due. They're all due to win, and they all got hair. So that's where my head's at. Fairway Jesus, take me to Tampa Bay here.
You know what? One thing I think about this golf course will be important is just steady play, not getting into a lot of trouble, not hitting a lot of wild shots, which is probably why I shouldn't have taken Bryson. But on the other side of that, I just want somebody who's really consistent. Colin Morikawa is my third, just because of how balanced his game is.
Yeah, I'd be worried with that new putting stroke. Hasn't looked good so far. I don't know. Hits it far enough. DJ's probably going to end up winning it after all this. We're saying this. Just go over him. Or like Patrick Reed at 31-1. You're going to need a lot of wedges in short game and making hard pars this week. I don't know, but I do know this. When I win, I'm going to throw in a request for a nice bottle of Decoy Cab Sauv. It's gonna go down smooth. What do you want if you win?
I think...
Girls' night out?
Yeah. No, a nice bottle of J-Lore. I like the J-Lore. Maybe I'll ramp it up a little bit.
Okay, like a year behind. You know what bottle I got recently? $8. I was at the store and the lady was talking about it.
Lonesome Charlie?
No, it's called Toro Bravo. It's probably okay. Toro Bravo or
Argentina?
Something. Spain, right from Spain. Okay. It's got a bull on the front looking over at an empty bottle from the weekend. I ended up grabbing a couple. I mean, for $8, how do you know?
Sure,
it's like not a cheap Merlot that's easy to drink. And for $8, can't beat it on a Saturday.
How'd you find that one?
I had a couple of friends that recommended, and then I forgot. I was just at the store looking for a different one, and the lady's like, hey, we never have this, because I live out in a small town with an LCBO the size of my basement. She's like, we never have this.
It's barely open.
Yeah, because somebody always buys it by a case because it's so good. So I trusted her on it, and here we are. But not this week. This week, Tommy Fleetwood's going to bring me home a nice decoy. Nice. I mentioned I went shopping. Went to a store, hit some golf balls, and I know it's weird. We both got anything, because when I was in there, I saw a couple different lads that we both grew up in the golf retail industry, and there's the types of different shoppers in there, and usually I didn't have to deal with the try everything guy this week, where he's in the sim the entire time. You can't get in. You know he's not buying anything, but they're in the sim. But you came up with this idea of like just going back and forth of the different type of characters that you can find in a golf store.
Yeah, we used to just, again, it's not a negative, but it used to always be funny. We'd see these people come in and, you know, we started over the years. There was 9 years that I was had a golf store, but obviously working in pro shops and stuff as well. And there just always seemed to be these same characters over and over again. And, they obviously are stereotypes, but I think a lot of people will recognize them when they see this, whether they've worked in the shop or not. And hey, maybe they'll recognize it in themselves. I can't say I haven't been one of these guys before. I don't think any of us could do that, but I just thought it was funny that maybe I'd list a dozen and we'd go through and just can maybe laugh and talk about our experiences maybe seeing that person. And obviously you started with the try everything guy.
All right, you pick your next one. What's one of your favorites?
I think the haggler was always the one, the guy. You'd have the price on something.
We're not in the market in Cuba.
Exactly. And they'd always be, and I still, to this day, I still remember a guy. Now, granted, I will tell you one time, it was in January, which you don't sell anything in the golf business in January. It's pretty hard to do. And we had put on this sale where you're open to negotiating. And this one guy is like, picks out the set of irons, offers half the price of what it was. It would have been probably a $1,400 set of irons. And he's like, $700. And I'm like, no, I don't think we can really do that. The whole set was probably like $1,270 at that point. Yeah. He's like, I know what you pay. I'm thinking, no,
I know what you pay, guys. A new guy. I haven't thought if I knew what you pay. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I doubt you do, but
yeah. No, you don't. But always haggle, and there'd always be those people that it didn't matter what price it was on it, and you'd say to them, you know, if you go to that store, retail store, do you ask, can I get a lower price? You're not at Walmart or Canadian Tire going, hey, can I get a deal on this? But because it's an independently owned store, you know, they felt they could always do that.
Oh, I love that. For me, I was trying out the equipment I mentioned. I like the guy that says, and for the record, women, I know there's someone that here, we're just going to leave you out of this one, but you are all guilty of every single thing we say on here. So don't think we're like, oh, it's only the guys that do this. Nuh-uh, women, we're looking at you. I'm going with the shaft is too whippy guy. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's like your swing speed is 85. I'm giving you a regular, and you should probably have a soft regular. It's not too whippy. That's not the reason the ball is going 100 yards right.
Too.
Yeah, and that's they do the shake. They do the shake with it. It's
they
like
rip it.
What?
Whip it around.
What is that? What? Yeah, they grip it and they just wiggle the bottom of the head, and they're like, oh, you see that? Yeah, grab the X-Flex. You're going to do the same thing.
Guys, or they put the head on the ground and then they push on the end of the grip to see how much flex they can get out
of
the shaft.
It didn't break. Like, what are you? Yeah, idiot.
Oh, yeah. We'll go to the next one here. Scuff the clubs on the ground, guy.
Like the practice swing on the carpet type of deal?
Oh, yeah. They get out there, and especially with wedges for some reason. And I mean, you know, I remember seeing this for the first time and I was literally shocked. And, you know, back then we'd have there's a lot of stores that would have like this, you know, thin indoor outdoor carpet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over top of concrete.
Just concrete underneath it.
Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden these guys are taking full out swings to get a feel for it, you know, even though you've got a hitting net or whatever that's there, and they're bashing the club across the ground. And then the funny part is then the guy might pick it up and come, well, this one's used. Well, yeah, it's used because you just bashed it into the floor.
I worked with a guy, so he tried to take a practice swing on the practice green one time with the driver, and he didn't see how close he was, ran right into the rack that holds all the clubs, smashes the head, snaps the shaft. Full-blown disaster, which no scruffing on the ground. I'm kind of on the same wavelength, because I did a lot of fittings, so you know, 2014 fit of the year, I don't bring it up often. Every once in a while. But the guy that says he hits it further outside, which is like this simulator's it's the best you're gonna get for an indoor setting. No, you do not. You do not hit it far further. They just don't believe it.
It's wrong. There's no way. I hit it 300.
Yeah, no. The 300, yeah. So that happens all the time. It's like, well, if you did, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. So what are we doing here?
Yeah. My next one, the going to join the Champions Tour guy. I love that one. The guy obviously is determined. I can remember a guy would be like 40 years old, and then he'd be like, oh, well, you know, I'm gonna try out for the senior tour when I'm 50. Of course, they didn't realize it's the hardest tour in the world to get on. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, and then you'd have to explain to them, okay, you're 40 years old. Okay, who's on the PGA Tour right now that's 40?
Yeah.
That's who you're going to be playing against.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're a 7 handicap right now. You're not playing in the Champions Tour. So, yeah, they don't, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to try to qualify. It's not that easy. It really is.
Never let the dream die. I'm sure there's many listeners out there that have dealt with these people, whether it's in a pro shop or in a retail store. We'd love to hear yours. Reach out to us on Twitter at Flagstick or on Instagram at Flagstick Golf. Tell us your favorite retail guy or gal. Again, women, you're guilty of all of this stuff. You know what? I'm going to give one of the women, we're going to have a quick break, the woman that takes like 10 things into the change room and then leaves them all in there. None of them are on hooks or hangers or anything. It's just chaos in there. Chaos. And it happens all the time. Guys do it too, but you know, there's always, you know her too. And you almost want to be like, you can have two things. You have two things until you prove them to me that you're going to put them on hangers. It's crazy. I swear, I think there should be a law that you have to work retail at one point in your life so you can just understand what people go through. But I'm looking forward to hearing what people have to say about that. I'm also looking forward to the questions we have this week in the mailbag. So let's grab a quick break, Scotty, and let's hit the mailbag. All right, Scotty, mailbag was open. What did we get this week?
Yeah, she filled in pretty quickly here. Started out a little bit with some equipment questions. One guy wrote in and said, currently playing with Top Flight irons from the 1980s. My goal is to break 90, now shoot 90 to 95. Don't play enough to spend a pile of money. Is there a set from an unknown brand that I should look at? Can be secondhand or clearance. There are many people like myself who enjoy the game but aren't willing to even spend $700 on a set of irons. What is available for around the 300 to 500 range?
Wow.
Yikes. Yeah.
All right. There's a ton, and whatever they are, they're going to be better than what you have from the 80s.
Definitely, yeah.
About almost 40 years of technology. Which is scary to think. Like, that's crazy. Check online. Just go on to, like, Kijiji and see what you got. And go buy a used set from somebody for that price range. Or literally go to the clearance section of your store. And I'm sure you can find some in the $500 range that are a few years older. Scotty and I used to do this. We played a game a long time back. We should maybe do that one again where we have a budget. And we went to a certain website that is a Canadian website that you can buy used golf equipment from. Do you remember the name of that one?
Yeah, it was Global Golf. golf.ca, and I think we looked at golfavenue.ca as well.
Yeah, so check out those and see what you can find, but you're going to be able to play better than whatever you have.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And you know, at first when I saw this question, I thought, I don't know how this budget fits with, you know, current sets that are out there. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of used sets out there, especially from golfers that, you know, buy clubs frequently and just kind of go through them. So there's definitely a lot that are out there. You know, particular brands, no, you're not necessary to say that. I would say for this level of golfer, they're going to need something that's a game improvement iron, a little larger sole, oversized head, which is going to be millions of times better than the Top Flights that they're playing now.
Like three club difference, like an 8-iron would have been, it's 5-iron would have been going.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. So, you know, there's sets from, you know, quality brands like a Wilson or Adams or stuff that are forgiving types of sets, but even you can go all the way up. I mean, you can find, you know, a used Ping set or a TaylorMade in their M series or M2s and stuff like that. There's lots of them that are around.
And they're like new still. You could probably find a new set of M2s for $400.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that's kind of where you're marketing and where you can look. And I'm sure you're going to find something that's better than what you have now. All right, we got another coffee question, and it comes from a former guest, Samantha Marks. Right. Dunkin' or Starbucks?
Oh, this is so easy. Dunkin' is so American. Give me Starbucks. No.
Really?
Dunkin', come on. Get out of here. This isn't a question. Dunkin'.
I like Dunkin'.
That's why you have hip issues.
Sorry.
Too many donuts. Lay off the donuts, bud.
Yeah, that's probably it or whatever. obviously, you know, we don't have Dunkin' here. But if I was in the States and had the choice, depends on what I'm having. If it's first thing in the morning and you're trying to have a breakfast sandwich, yeah, I'll grab the Dunkin'. If I'm just having coffee, Starbucks.
Now, I did, because of you, I went to Starbucks on the weekend. I like to go out for a nice, like, drive on Sunday mornings. Maybe go for a walk with a dog and try to get, maybe I do like a Starbucks. I don't go for coffee every single day or anything, just once a week. And I ended up going with the double shots in my Americano, and it was
nice.
It was good. I was on good vibes the rest of that day. I was buzzing.
You were rocking along for the rest of that walk, that's for sure.
See, we learned something by asking these questions, though.
There you go. Hey, you know, that's why we take any question. It doesn't necessarily have to be a golf question, so keep them coming. All right, if you had to invite one pro golfer over for dinner with your whole family, who would it be and why?
So this is where you got to think about your family too, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah. It's different if you're just choosing for yourself.
Yeah. So I'm talking my whole family. So my dad's going to want to become best friends with this person. And I remember when I was, when I had caddy for Martin after the Canadian Open, and he's like, hey, we should have him over for dinner sometimes. Like, we're in Hamilton. Like, what, how is this going to happen? So, you know, things along those. So, I need somebody, a good guy that can hold a conversation. Oh, but you could do anybody. Where are you going? Let me go. Let's let you go first.
You know, I thought about this one just because I was able to see the question earlier than you did. So I've got a little bit of an advantage, but I'm going to go GMAC. You know, okay. Great guy, just an every man able to have a conversation with everybody. He's going to, you know, he's going to be good with whoever is not a golfer as well. Not afraid to, you know, tip one back and have a beverage. Got lots of funny stories. I think he'd be a good fit, whatever situation that you're in.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one. I thought I knew
who you would take.
Who are you thinking?
I thought you were going to go to your hero.
Paul Casey?
Exactly. He would have been one of my picks, too.
Yeah, Paul would be good. I think if you're doing this, you got one chance, and it's going to be you want entertaining. You want to be able to have somebody that's going to hold a conversation, that's going to tell good stories. If you're going to go down, like that's a good dinner guest, right? That's what you look for a dinner guest. Are they going to cause drama? Probably not. Are they going to tell good stories? Are we going to have laughs? Are they going to bring a good bottle of wine, right? Like when you invite somebody over for dinner, they better bring a nice bottle of wine over with them. So I know Phil's going to bring a nice bottle of wine and I know he's going to tell us some stories. So if it is a once in a lifetime opportunity, that I got to go Phil. I think it would just be, I think I've learned that Phil's in on the joke and that he's not actually such a like a wiener that we always thought he was for a lot of years. I think he's in on it. Come over for dinner, Phil. We'll get Kate to whip you up something nice.
Fireside with Phil. I love it. All right. Next one here. Someone asked, has Bryson finally taken himself out? This is how they worded it. Past the sweet spot in this strength distance thing. And obviously they were doing that based on the fact that he shot 75, 69 and missed the cut at the Genesis.
No, I think what's going on with Bryson, and I don't know about you, I'm sure you've had guys that friends of yours that have gone in the, you know, the bodybuilding type of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to add and take away that weight. My understanding is Bryson is actually trying to slim down on the body fat, and that is like that's going to take a toll on him. Who knows what how that had an effect. He also hadn't been playing a lot going into the Genesis. No, Bryson won the US Open less than 12 months ago. What was it, 8 months ago? Yeah. He's going to win again this year. He's going to keep winning every single
year.
He's
going to win this week.
Year.
Come on. He might. I gotta get them my bottle of wine.
He might. That's you need to be able to bomb it out there, and he knows the course, so he could. No, it's too way too early.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is you know, passing judgment on him right now based on one tournament. No, that's not the case. I mean, we know that the best players in the world will, you know, they have their streaks of success for a small period within a year. Somebody missing a cut. Not everybody's going to be a player that's going to make all the cuts all the time. It's just not going to happen. And obviously they had to deal with some adverse wind conditions and stuff there as well. So I think he's fine and I think he'll win and hopefully he wins this week. So
he also like, he is really good at putting lately. I think people are thinking he's just bombing. He's figured out that putter. So,
well, and that's one of the things I'd like him for at the concession as well that I didn't mention. The greens are fairly small there. So, you know, if he gets on the green surface, he's got a good chance to make some putts. Mm-hmm. All right, last one here. What do you think of Annika playing again on the LPGA? Do you think accepting the Medal of Freedom will hurt her moving forward? I used to love watching her golf, but well, not this weekend because of the medal ceremony she attended.
This person that asked, every time Annika's coming on the TV, they are changing the channel.
Which is bizarre.
I like the idea that they're covering their eyes and they're going, no, 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 no. I like that idea. That's if you're doing that and you're that person, please send me footage because that's funny. That is funny. I don't care that Annika's playing again on the LPGA. She's not going to compete. She's great. She's got a good swing. She's got great wedges. She had her career. It's been 15 years. Maybe I'm wrong. I really do not care. I thought her accepting the Medal of Freedom at that time, poor timing. You could have waited a year and you probably would have the same thing and it would have been better timing. I thought it was just very selfish for what was going on. People make selfish decisions. Would I sit down and have dinner with her? Sure. Yeah, I'm sure we'd have a great conversation, but do I care she's playing golf again? I really do not care at all. There's other players on the tour I'd rather watch.
Yeah, and I think that'll be the sentiment for the players that, or for the fans that maybe didn't grow up watching her or seeing her era of playing and realized how, you know, how often that she won and the level of her play. Again, I think it's a ceremonial thing being back at Lake Nona at her home club. I don't expect her to compete. I'm sure there's going to be some highlights and, you know, the broadcast is probably going to go crazy when all of a sudden she makes two birdies in a row and then,
she's leading.
Yeah, here she comes. Well, okay, well, we're two holes into the tournament, so settle down. There'll certainly be some storylines that they're going to be talking about. Again, like I said, Yanni Tsang is in this tournament as well. We ended up buying Annika's old house and then sold it, and then so there's a tie-in with that as well, and she hasn't played in a bunch, but you know what, I'll watch. I don't care. I'm not gonna put my fingers over my eyes and go ahead and watch. But
well, you might hurt your hip by lifting your arms.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if that's what you want to do and you feel that way, you have the right to do that. So
I love the idea of them covering their eyes or switching over the Food Channel for like a second to watch cake wars exactly. or something like that, and then back.
She's on flip over. So, yeah, exactly.
All right, that's it for the mailbag this week. Scotty, keep sending our questions every single week as per usual. Like in the coffee questions, let's go food. Like, give me some food questions. Like, ooh, yeah, go to McDonald's order or something like that. We could get off your high horse, old man. You're talking about your Dunkin' breakfasts and everything. McDonald's can't be much worse. You know what can't be much worse? A lot of people's putting. It struggles throughout the winter. The short game goes. If you're not doing anything, you got to get putting. This is the perfect time to find a way to at least make yourself feel good when you get back on the course in a couple months that, hey, at least my putting's fine. Everything else is a disaster. Tee to green is awful. But if I get on the green, at least that feels good. So you have some advice with the tip of the week on to help them improve their putting.
Yeah, I see a lot of people right now that, you know, have bought putting mats either, you know, in the previous, you know, the current lockdown or previous lockdown. So, you know, that's what they're doing. They're spending a lot of time putting. But what I also see is when they post their photos on Instagram, I see them with three golf balls, and they're three different brands of balls. They're three different styles of golf balls. So one thing that people should realize is that no matter the level of your play, you actually are very tuned to what happens with the golf ball, and the golf ball will react in a certain way to your putter. So the result is that you should use the same ball just for consistency, just so that you get the same ball speed for as much effort that you put into the stroke that you have, because really in the end, that's how you calibrate what your feel is as far as making the putts. And if you all of a sudden end up with a ball that's a lot harder, the ball is going to take off faster off the putter, or softer, it's going to do the opposite of that. So it's going to mess you up as far as that calibration. So try to have some consistency. Use the same type of ball all the way through when you're doing your practice putting.
I like that. Small detail, very but it adds up. That's it for this week. A lot of golf to watch this weekend. Going to be catching much of the work day, something or other at some course that we've never heard. Or which tournament are you looking forward to the most? I have a feeling it's probably the LPGA.
Yeah, I think I'll watch a fair bit of the LPGA, whatever's on there. WGC will have some interest as well. And then starting to prep a little more. I'll talk to you a little bit more about this. But T-Talk has basically got a booth at the upcoming Ontario Golf Expo. We're going to be highlighted there, and we're going to have a few extra interviews, and we're going to highlight some of the interviews that we've done in the past. So we'll be part of the entertainment process there. So looking forward to that and doing some planning for that as well.
Can't wait. I'm clearly ready for that. I been thinking of all the things I'm going to talk about. I'm sure they can't wait to have me as their in-house entertainment. I'm ready. I've been working my whole life for this.
Well, we should give a shout out to Brendan as well, who was an addition to the podcast last week.
Right. Yeah. We got a new editor producer, which we'll actually bring him on next week. Hasn't been able to record with us yet, but Brendan Kennedy, you can follow him on Instagram and on Twitter at @BrendanKennedy_. Brendan works with a lot of Canadian bands, most notably the Glorious Sons. We'll let him talk about his career and kind of sound engineering. Him and I go way back to the days of, I think I was in like grade 5 when we met. Wow. And then our bands kind of crossed paths at one time, and he kept going down that road. So looking forward to that. Because of that too, you're going to have a lot of different musical guests throughout the next couple months that we're going to bring on. So that's exciting as well. But yeah, shout out to Brendan for all his hard work. If you probably could tell, I could tell right away, it sounded way better when he edited it than when I do it. So looking forward to that. And yeah, we'll make sure we get Brendan on next week to chat with him and see where guests go. We're looking forward to it. It's awesome to have it back. We miss Nick. Nick helped us get this started. We'll always remember our first Nick, but sometimes you got to move on. You got to move on. Please don't come for the gear still. We still need the gear, Nick. He's not listening. But that's it for the week. Thanks, Scotty. Thank you, Brendan, for editing. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to anyone who sent in the mailbag. And we're thinking about you, Tiger. Hopefully safe recovery. And next week we have some better news of everything and with the crash, and hopefully surgery's going well and we see you back soon. But yeah, tough day in the world of golf with that news, and hopefully next week we have some better news. But until then, Scotty, any final thoughts?
Nope, all good. Looking forward to talking to everybody next week.
All right, we'll see you then.